Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the paws and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Are you confused by your canine? Frustrated by your feline's sudden new catitude? Do you ever wish you could just have a meaningful conversation with your pet? You know, get the straight talk on why your cat is suddenly boycotting the litter box, or find out why your dog is waging war on your dishwasher. You know, there's no Berlitz guide to dog speak, no Rosetta Stone tape on cat speak, but helping to bridge this people-pet communication gap is our special guest, Tim Link. Tim is an animal communicator and author of a new book called Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. It's published by Emerald Book Company. Tim's been on a national book tour to help us two-leggers better understand our four-leggers. Hey, welcome to the show, Tim.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, I know that my furry fab four, Chipper, Callie, Cleo, and Murphy, are here and present, and they're all ears in anticipation of what Tim has to say. So, sit and stay. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
It's designerpetsweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. designerpetsweaters.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I confess, I talk a lot to my two dogs and two cats. I speak English and, on occasion, when I'm trying to practice, a little Spanish. You know, bonita perro and gato and all this, and they look at me like, you know, work on your accent, Ard. But, you know, like you, I look into their eyes and I try my best to read their minds. I mean, did Callie and Murphy enjoy that new can of cat food I got from Trader Joe? Are Chipper and Cleo irked by the big black crows that roost in the tree on my hillside? I mean, what gives my pets the most joy? What makes them say, talk to the paw because the ears aren't listening? You know, help is here, fortunately. Our guest today is Tim Link. He's president and CEO of Wagging Tails Incorporated. That's like a fancy corporate title. But his true passion and talent lies in his ability to communicate with animals. Think of him as like a modern-day Dr. Doolittle, who talks and, more importantly, listens to what pets have to say. As I mentioned earlier, he's on a book tour for the release of his must-read book called Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. And tail is spelled, of course, T-A-L-E, because there are some corgis out there with no tails. Hey, glad you're on the show, Tim.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
All right, let's get right into it. Here you were, thriving in sales management for a telecommunication industry, you know, garnering a lot of kudos and awards, getting a steady pay, and then, bam, something happened to you back in February of 2004. You know, let's go back to that date in history and fill in our listeners.
Yeah, I can remember it very well. You know, I'd spent 20 years of my career working, you know, climbing that corporate ladder and became a vice president director of a major telecom corporation, and I was traveling the world selling software for cell phones, and that was sort of my life. Mm-hmm. And in February 2004, my wife and I had heard of a communicator, the late Judy Byers, was coming to town, and her topic was to just how do you connect with animals. And we thought it was going to be a fun little weekend. It was my wife's birthday that weekend. So we thought, well, we spend the afternoon with some like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And during the little seminar, we learned how to quiet our minds and open our hearts and start to connect with animals and just ask questions, ask simple questions of your animals, both verbally as well as visualizing it. And, you know, as I said, I thought it was going to be just a fun little afternoon, and we would have some fun with some animals and some like-minded people. But little did I know that it was going to explode into something much greater than that. The questions and the connection I had with animals became much deeper. They were sharing with me information in form of words and eventually pictures and colors and feelings and all the things that animals go through. They were sharing with me, and I actually could relate and understand and could share that information back with the owners of the animals and open up a communication path between the two. And, you know, when the gift sort of presented itself, I thought, well, you know, this is fascinating. It's fun. But, you know, what the heck am I going to do with this? You know, it's mm-hmm. not like I could go to a CEO of a major corporation and say, boy, do I have a deal for you, Mr. CEO. If you buy like $20 million worth of my product today, I'll go by your house and let you know why Fluffy's no longer using the litter box. And believe me, at that time, if I thought that sales approach would have worked, perhaps I would have still be selling cell phones today. But I think it was meant for me to do, to uncover this gift and to pursue this passion. And over the years, the gift continued to grow. The connections with animals became easier, and the information they shared with me was much greater. And then the opportunities started presenting themselves, not only working with my own pets, but pets of friends, and then later on with rescue organizations. Then I became president of our local humane society, so I had more opportunities to help the pets. And then once the word got out, people were calling me literally from around the world to help them out with their pets. And so I decided a couple years ago that this is really my passion. This is my purpose for being here, is to help people build the best relationship possible between them and their pets and gain a better understanding of what the animal's wants and needs are. And that's what we've been doing. And it's just been great.
Wow. But, you know, I took the freelance route about 10 years ago. I call that my gutsy broad move. I have no idea how you would describe your move, because you go from steady paychecks to, right?
Yeah, I sort of look at it as, you know, it's sort of whether you call it a spiritual thing or whether you just call it, you know, some divine guidance. I think that these small rowboats are sent your way, and every once in a while you've got to jump on one and ride the tide out, paddle as fast mm-hmm. as you can, but let it go down the path that you're supposed to go down. And that's sort of how I'm seeing my journey. And if you would have asked me a couple years ago that would I be doing this full time, would I be having people call me from around the world to help them out, would I be finding lost pets, would I have a book that's published and going on a national book tour, there's no doubt in my mind I would have said you're crazy. This is not going to happen. Why would I leave a steady paycheck, as you call it, you know, in 20 years of my life that I built climbing that ladder and doing the thing I thought I was supposed to be doing? But, you know, Arden, I think this is really what I'm meant to be doing. And I think when you find that passion and purpose, you just have to go for it. And everything seems to fall in place after that.
You know, I was checking you out. I always sniff out my guest bios. You know, that's what I do, and your little background. And I found out we have some things in common. We're both Hoosiers.
We're both Hoosiers.
You grew up in Richmond. I grew up in Crown Point. And Crown Point, for all those people who are going to flock over to the new Johnny D movie, John Dillinger, a.k.a. Johnny Depp, Crown Point is famous because we had the escape-proof jail that John Dillinger was put in. And unfortunately, he kind of proved that we weren't so savvy and smart, because he took a bar of soap, black shoe polish, carved it into the shape of a gun, and fooled the guard into thinking he had a gun. And he stole the sheriff's car and escaped. That's our big claim to fame in Crown Point. I don't know if there's a wonderful story or what Richmond, Indiana is known for. What do you think?
Well, Well, we've got a couple of things. We, Richmond, Indiana, the first recording studio in the nation was from Richmond in, at Gannett Studios. So we had all the wonderful early recordings on vinyl from Richmond.
Okay.
Yeah, the first lawnmower was manufactured.
Okay.
And the infamous Jim Jones from the Guyana tragedy, if you remember that. Unfortunately, we tried to downplay this, but he graduated from the same high school I did. So I don't know if those are claims to fame, but I guess...
You know what? I think if I had a choice between Jim Jones or John Dillinger, I think I'll take Johnny D. Johnny T for 200, Alex. Yeah, I think, you know, wow. Now, the other thing that we have in common, other than, of course, we love pets, that's awesome, is that we both have appeared on the morning show with Mike and Juliet.
Exactly, exactly.
And have you noticed that she's quite tall? I wish I was standing on a soapbox. I mean, honest to God, I think I came to her navel on the show, and I'm like, oh, great, you know, make me stand next to, like, an NBA player with makeup. That's what Juliet is. And I don't know, what was your segment about?
My segment was the two of the producers had had dogs that they were having challenges with. There was a one that had a beagle puppy. If you can imagine this, she had a beagle puppy, and she lived in an apartment complex in downtown Manhattan. So you have yes, exactly. So you got two young, yeah. Our beagles, they love to talk it up. They love to be out there mixing it up, and not necessarily the easiest puppy to raise in downtown Manhattan, especially when you have two young producers who are the human companions, as I call them, the owners of the animal, who are, you know, busy doing production and easily spending, you know, 12, 16 hours at the studios each day producing the shows. So we had some challenges there, and then we had another wonderful. One of the producers had actually rescued a German Shepherd mix from a kennel here in Georgia, unbeknownst to me. And we worked with that dog. That dog had been adapting to life in Manhattan quite well, except for the sound of the air brakes on the trucks. So in the trucks in the cities, they could pull up to stoplights, the air brakes would let out the noises. And come to find out, this dog was originally found on the side of the highway here in Georgia, surrounded by trucks and things of this sort. So that noise, he related back to some deep trauma he had in his life, and we had to work on ways to overcome that. So it was an exciting episode, and it was fun to go up there. It was a spur-of-the-moment type of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think Juliet's tall standing next to her, you ought to try at my level when I get down on the floor with the dogs and I have to look up at the host.
There you go. There you go. You're up to her ankle then, right?
Exactly. She's got lovely ankles.
No, it was nice to know. Didn't notice. But they were both really fun. I did my segment on cat geometry, face geometry, because there is a theory, if you will, for some of the mutt cats out there at shelters that another tool in helping you get a good match is a temperament tool. Is there are some that believe the shape of the cat's head can actually help you pick their temperament. For example, they come in round, triangle, and square. And I had the fortune of having Callie and Murphy and my former cat, little guy, aka Dude, sport all three face shapes. And truly, they were those types. The triangle face, Murphy is adventurous, Callie is a round face, a little bit more shy, and Dude, I said on national television, is mellow as if he smoked a joint. I can't believe I said that on the air. Don't know where I got that moment from, but it came out.
Oh, goodness. So you had a great balance in your life. You had all three of them, so it's nice balance. And I talk a lot about that, you know, making sure that, you know, first of all, oftentimes our animals find us. They show up at our doorsteps. We're walking into the grocery store that happens to be next to the pet store, and there's an adoption day. There's always some reason that they find us. But, you know, you have to make sure you have to do your homework ahead of time, because it's not fair to the animal that if you bring, for instance, like we talked about, a beagle in downtown Manhattan, maybe right. Your favorite type of dog, maybe just the love of your life, there may be a purpose for the animal being there, but you have to be prepared to spend a lot of time, because now all of a sudden you've got a puppy, you got it in an environment that's not typically used to, and you've got to find a way to keep it mentally and physically stimulated. And so, you know, I always encourage people to do their homework. So your view on that and the fact that there's actually some scientific proof behind all this is another tool that people need to know about before bringing one of their furry friends home.
That's true. That's true. You know, we're speaking with Tim Link. He is the author of Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. His website, you must write down, it's Wagging, W-A-G-G-I-N-G, hyphen, Tails, and that's spelled T-A-L-E-S.com. So it's wagging-tails.com. And, you know, this little modern-day Dr. Doolittle, if you will. I'm so glad a friend of mine, I guess, chatted you up on an airplane flight from Atlanta. I guess she was going to a trade show. And the next thing I know, she's bombarding me with, Tim Link, Tim Link, Tim Link, Tim Link. I'm like, what? She's very spirited and energetic. And so that's how we got the connection. So you never know where my guests will come from. You could be in seat, whatever, 16A on an air flight, and you might be on my show.
That's right. Everybody knows Arden, so it works out well. And the best thing is I didn't have to pay her for the publicity, so it worked out real well for me.
That's true. Oh, I didn't tell you about the bill? Oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, no.
You know, we're going to take a break, but we're going to be back with Tim and talk about his book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, maybe offer some tips on how we can better communicate with our pets. I'm actually hoping he might be able to size up my Chipper, Callie, Cleo, and Murphy and find out what's going on in their furry heads. They're all here in the room with me right now being very good pet mimes. So let's go ahead and pay for this show by taking a commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. All Behave will be right back.
Pause up, pet pals. Arden Moore here with my very happy dog, Kona. Hey, we enjoy getting deliveries, and surprise, surprise, so do our dogs. Right, Kona? With a Kong Box subscription, your dog gets two great toys, three delicious treats, plus two recipes or tips delivered to your home every month or every other month. Now, Kona spun in a circle and wagged her tail like a fan on high speed when her Kong Box arrived. She received a stuffed bear toy with squeaker, chicken-flavored Kong Bites, plus a Kong Goody Bone, a Kong Classic I stuffed with a Kong Sweet Potato Spread. The box also came with a training tip to deal with boredom and a recipe to make Toby's Tasty Treats. Possum, your turn to treat your dog for a limited time when you sign up for a 6 or 12-month subscription and donate $1 to Best Friends Animal Society to help other dogs in need. You can get your first Kong Box free. After that, you receive a new box every month or every other month, custom for your dog for as little as $29.95, and shipping is free. So dash over to kongbox.com/behave to get your first Kong Box free with your subscription and a dollar donation. kongbox.com/behave. That's kongbox.com/behave. It's time to wrap this up because Kona's letting me know it's time for me to stuff her Kong Goody Bone. Good girl.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Betty White, and I'm inviting you to tune in to the O Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper, and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. We're chatting with Tim Link. He is an animal communicator. He also knows a thing or two about Reiki, which is sort of an energy healing modality. And your publicist said, I need to get pictures of your pets. And I wasn't sure, you know, Chipper, Callie, Cleo, Murphy, they're not on any wanted posters, but they are posted on my website, ardenmoore.com. So you had a chance to take a peek at these, the Furry Fab Four?
Absolutely. And you know, it's real interesting when you say, you know, all of them are in the room with you. And I don't know if that's traditionally their routine or not, but it's not uncommon when I do private consultations, and a lot of those private consultations are over the phone. And I get a picture of the animal, and we set up a time, and we actually have a three-way chat, or in this case, a six-way chat with all the animals. And often they'll come into the room because they want to feel that energy. They want to be part of that conversation. They know I'm a conduit for that. And often they want to be there to defend themselves, especially if they've been up to some mischief. So it's exciting that they're all there for you.
Oh, Chipper's flipping her tail right now saying, mischief? Not me.
Exactly. So, you know, it's wonderful, the personalities. You've got a real nice balance within the house, which is really cool. I don't see any big fusses about. You know, the interesting thing is with when we're talking about Chipper, Chipper is obviously sort of the oh, I want to say – I wouldn't say it's the alpha, but it's more of the lead – plays the lead role in trying to keep things in play, keep everybody – I wouldn't say in their place, but actually make sure everybody knows what's going on and make sure everybody is sort of in alignment with what is happening. Feeling good. Wants to know when the next trip's going to be though.
Oh,
so
okay.
I understand Chipper is your superstar.
Well, Chipper and Cleo, they're my canine pals. I'm an editor with Fido Friendly, a dog travel magazine. So those poor dogs have had to go on houseboat trips, you know, go to pet spas. I mean, really rough. We had to go to a dog beach in Huntington Beach and stay at a 4-star hotel. Our goal is, my next outing with them, hopefully, is to put them on Pet Airways. I'm being trained as a flight attendant for this new Airways that flies only pets. And you fly your regular commercial flight, and they fly in this climate-controlled airplane that has a pilot, a co-pilot, and a pet-trained flight attendant. And they're called passengers. So 60 pounds of Chipper, there's no way she can fit under my seat in a regular flight. And I don't really feel comfortable with her being in the belly of the plane. So I'm hoping this Pet Airways will be a good thing for all people that have pets, and they just, you know, are a little nervous when it comes to flying them. And you can fly them year-round, unlike, you know, some of those flights. You have to be very, very careful about when you fly because of the weather. It can't be too hot, can't be too cold. So tell Chipper, Pet Airways, sometime maybe in late July, early August.
Excellent. Excellent. So we'll let him know that. You know, it's very interesting because I've got a friend in, you know, of mine that actually hired me for a consultation last night, and his work is taking him down to Mexico City for a 6-month stint, and he's got three cats that he's taking with him. And so all the challenges, and we talked about Pet Airways as an as an option. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and I think it's a fascinating concept. I wish it extreme success because I think it's something that is definitely needed. Because all the challenges he had to go through, he has to get the cats there 4 hours ahead of time, and then once they go to Mexico City, he has to they have to keep them in cargo for 4 hours, and he has to have all these documentations, all these shots, and it's in addition to the cost, it's just the major challenges, and then you go and add on top of that the stress of the animal. You know, unless you've talked it through with the animal, unless you've done some steps, maybe given it some homeopathic remedies, some calming agents, things of this sort. And I'm not talking about medication, you know.
No, I understand.
Supplements. You have to do all this stuff ahead of time. You can't just simply pick your pet up, stick it in a kennel, and stick it below the belly of the plane. So this Pet Airways is a fascinating concept, and I wish it well.
Well, they asked me to come on board. Pardon the pun. I have full of them. I'm full of puns. They just pop out of my head. But the people that organized it are two people similar to like a story like you, where they were very successful in the corporate world, this husband and wife team, Elisa Binder and Dan Weissel, and they have an older Jack Russell named Zoe that is a little bit too big to fit under the seat. And so they were moving from California to Florida, and the whole time they were on the plane, they were just panicked. Worried. What is going on? Is Zoe okay? Because Zoe's an older Jack Russell, about 17 years old. And at the time, Zoe, she was 15. And that's what got the light bulb on, saying, you know what? There needs to be an airline that caters to pets. Now, they're starting out slow. And so they asked me to come on board to do some behavior consulting and content for their website. And we just developed a relationship. It's I don't know how it's going to go, but I figured, you know what? I'm going to do what I can to help people that want to travel or find a pet in a different part of the country and make it a little bit safer for our pets.
And I think that's fantastic. And obviously, they came to the expert to find out. So that's great news.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how you came up with this book. The book is called Wagging Tails. Every Animal Has a Tail. And I was looking through it and you know, you take on the stories. There's about 30 or so stories of different animals, including this gotta-run dog named Frasier. You got a one-eyed cat named Tawny. And one of my favorites, you even chat with a praying mantis that you decide should be named Pepe.
That's right. That's right. Because because all the animals talk, and it's just not our furry friends. That's what we're used to. That's, you know, typically in a domestic household, you have a dog and or a cat or multiples. Occasionally, if you live out on a farm, you have a horse. But nowadays, we're getting more and more animals into our life. We're seeing more and more of the younger adults bring in some exotic animals. Things like iguanas and lizards and turtles and snakes, and all of them have the same capability to communicate, just like the praying mantis did in the book. But the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, is sort of a compilation of 32 stories of animals that I've actually worked with. And it's sort of wrapped around. We have 24 helpful hints in there as well, things you can do today to have a better relationship with your pets. And the book came about as sort of just a fun little practice more than anything. I decided when I left corporate America, I would do this full time, and I was starting to do a lot of individual consultations. And in addition to that, I volunteered a lot of my time at the local rescue organizations. And so I would work with the animals that are in the shelters and at the foster homes of the people until we could get them to their right and perfect forever homes. And during the consultations and during the time I spent at the shelters and at the foster homes, I would write notes about the animals, just simple notes. You know, here's what I uncovered. Here's what they said. And I had this nice journal of stories or little bits and notes of conversations I had with these animals. And my wife, brilliant lady that she is, said—
And your high school sweetheart. Wow, you've been married like forever, right?
We have. It was an arranged marriage in some fashion or another. But yeah, we've been together for 30 years and been married for 23. So yeah, she's a fantastic lady and definitely keeps me straight, which is a full-time job. And she came with the idea. She said, you've got all these wonderful notes and you ought to write a book about it. You ought to take these notes and put it in a story fashion. And I thought, well, that should be a fun little exercise. So we sort of weeded through the various notes, and we sort of took the stories or the notes in order from the early days through about a 4 or 5 month period and created enough stories for this book. And had no real intention that it would be, a national published book and that I'd be on book tours. I just thought it would be a fun little book that I could share with my clients. And unbeknownst to me, the stories came out well. Some people heard about it. We got the attention of a national publicist and then later a publishing house. And next thing I know, I've got this book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. And it's I think it's a fun book. It gets you to think a little bit. It touches your heart a little bit. It's an easy read. I wanted something that you, within a couple, 3 hours, you could sit down and read it and actually feel good about the time you spent with it and not ask for that part of your life back from spending time with the book. And the best thing, I think that's two great things have come out of the book. The first thing is a lot of young adults, ages 9 to say 13 years old, have been attracted to the book and have actually they've actually spent their money or added it to their summer reading list and are starting to read the book. And I've gotten wonderful little notes from our young adults about the stories and the fascinating which ones were their favorite ones, favorite stories. And the second part of the book, as always, just is a portion of the proceeds from the book as well as our business, Wagging Tails, goes back to animal rescue organizations. And we've had the distinct pleasure that each city that we've been in during the tour, we've invited a local rescue group to join us and bring their animals onto the TV sets and the radio shows and the book signings. And we've got wonderful interface with them, gave them some exposure as well as giving them a portion of the proceeds from the book. So that was a very thrilling part of this whole tour as well.
Well, giving back helps everybody be enriched. And I'm not talking wealthy as far as dollars. I'm talking enriched to me, which is sort of the best currency out there.
Absolutely. We're here just to help our animal friends and help them have the best life they possibly can and help you build great relationship with them. And so to give back is definitely a pleasure.
Now, we talked a little bit about Chipper, who's wanting to get her frequent fur flying miles. What about, do you have any take on either Callie, she's my oldest cat, or Murphy, a cat with a boy's name but named after Murphy Brown, or little Cleo, the 12-pound mystery mutt?
Right. Well, Murphy is more of a care less type of attitude.
Okay.
Yeah. And sort of, you know, it's sort of a, when I connect with Murphy, it's more of appeasing me during the conversation, a lot like Pepe, the praying mantis in the book, sort of just appeased. Yes. Just appeasing me as the mere human that I am. And okay. Yeah, definitely had a sweet kitty, but definitely has some a little bit of attitude and mm-hmm. definitely has her own personality and basically does her own thing. And she just sort of wants to, you know, be part of the situation when she wants to be. And otherwise, she doesn't care to be part of the situation.
Yeah, she's a very – I call her Murfin Surf, and she's – I actually call her my soulmate too. She picked me out at a – she was running around in a apartment complex when I first moved to California, and I swear she was looking like she's wearing a top hat and cane saying, pick me, pick me. And she apparently had been left behind when a family moved out of the unit, but she was about 6 months old when I got her.
Wow, that's amazing. And we're seeing – and that's fantastic. She found right perfect forever home with you and can be a little bit of a star for you. But, you know, we're seeing more and more of that lately also at the shelters with the economy being the way it is. And there's some wonderful animals there just waiting to find their right and perfect home.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, bring – you know, help those animals out. That's for sure.
What about anything about Callie? Do you see anything with her?
Callie's more of – she is one – now you – I don't know if I had read this or if you'd said something, maybe said it earlier about the crows, but mm-hmm. is it big-time crow season around there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's not a big fan of that. Yeah. Not a big fan. It's very interesting to her, but it's also very annoying. It's very annoying. And she wants to know why they're out there, what they're doing in her trees. Now, is she an indoor-outdoor kitty or just indoors?
She's indoor, but I let her go outside with me in the backyard. Both of the cats, they're trained. They know the words inside and outside. So they come out with me. And during the day, sometimes they might sit on the back porch and on the little chairs or cushions. But they're not having any plans of scaling the 6-foot wall to go somewhere else. They're older cats, and they like to hang home.
Exactly. You know, and that was the impression. It's sort of like Callie. I know you've used her in appearances and some of the speaking events that you've done. For her, it's not a fun type of situation. She would rather just be there at home. It's not like Chipper. Chipper's very knows what to do. Chipper knows the knows the routine, knows what's expected, and so Chipper sort of enjoys that role. Mm-hmm. Where Callie would rather just, you know, stay home and do her own little thing as well.
I know. Sure. Unfortunately, I had to put her on the Queen Mary boat for a national talk for pet sitters on It's Cool to Be Catty. So. She. I try it on occasion, but I always try also placate her with kitty caviar. I hope that's a good enough bribe.
She'll take all that she can get. That's for
okay.
sure.
What no about problem. Little Cleo? We'll wrap it up. This is a little mystery mutt that came around about 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I think Cleo has. I'm picking up. Does Cleo have some allergies?
I'm not sure. She sometimes licks her paws, but they're not red or anything like that. You know.
Okay, because I'm picking up a little itchiness. Now, it could be just an isolated thing. But she did show me her paws. She showed me her nose a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. So it just could be something that's an environmental type thing as the seasons are changing. But she feels a little itchy today. Has she been a little bit of a rascal in your life?
What do you mean by that?
Well, she's been she's sort of fun-loving, and maybe she's shown me she doesn't she does what she wants to do when she wants to do it.
Oh, yeah, she does.
Yeah, yeah. So she hasn't been as perhaps easy to keep focus as Chipper is.
Right, right, yeah. Chipper really listens, and sometimes Cleo will. But Cleo isn't like a nasty dog or anything. She just, I call it monkey mouth. You'll be walking down the street, or she'll get stimulated by another dog or something, and she'll do that. And then all of a sudden Chipper will go, hey, hey, hey. And then I say to Chipper, sit. She persists. I look at Cleo, monkey mouth, and she's, rah, rah, and then finally she'll settle down. But she, you know, you have to show the index finger and the I mean business stare, and then she's like, oh, okay.
But, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So she's a sweet girl, and the reference to being a little rascal is she sort of focuses on something for a while, then focuses on something else for a while, and try to keep her attention and focused on one thing, especially when she's out and about or other activities are going on around her, will sometimes distracts her.
Yeah, so, that's all right. I would never trade her. You know, I never thought I'd like a little dog, and darn it, I do. She's about the. She's smaller than Murphy, so I always said if a dog's smaller than a cat, I don't. I'm not real big about adopting a little tiny dog, but she's small but mighty.
Exactly. So I think it's a good balance. You know, Chipper will sort of direct her and keep her in line, and Cleo do her own little thing. So I think you've got a combination of both there.
Well, I'm still lucky. I got a handful of pets. That's enough: two dogs, two cats. And like you, I try to help other animals in need, because you can't just have, you know, Noah's Ark on Todd Street in Oceanside, California, or in your home in Cumming in Georgia. So I think sometimes we can help by not necessarily, quote, having them in our zip code, but going out like you're doing with your national book tour, helping people understand how to better communicate with their pets. I'm just really happy, Tim, that you've been on my show, and I'm hoping that you'll come back where we can maybe go through some more specific tips and share some specific stories. So I'm just warning you, you've been invited back.
Excellent. I'd love the opportunity. Any chance to talk to you and talk about our furry friends is definitely a pleasure.
Okay, well, that's it for our show today. I want to give pause and applause to our special guest, animal communicator Tim Link. And I ask you to please remember to check out his website, www.wagging-tails.com. And tails is spelled T-A-L-E-S. And please buy his book. You're going to help a lot of animal rescue groups in need, because he gives a portion of the sales to various groups. The book is called Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. I also want to thank my cool producer, Mark Winter. He does all the magic behind the scenes for each and every episode. I invite you to keep up on my latest pet adventures on Facebook. You can just punch in my name, Arden Moore, and go over to examiner.com. I'm a national pet correspondent for them. So, Tim, I might be writing a story about you in examiner.com and showing a link to your site. I want to make sure you sell zillions of copies.
Excellent. Thank you.
And I want you to all remember to hug your pet and to tell them how much you love them. As we've learned today from Tim, it's okay to talk to our pet, whether you speak English, Spanish, whatever. You know, it's good to communicate with them and keep the lines of communication open. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do, and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.